Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thanks for joining me for another episode. I am so excited because today I have a special guest. I know him really well. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Kyle Bilquist, also known as my husband. And I wanted him to come on with me today because I really wanted to have us kind of break down the process of what we've done and how we've essentially stair-stepped our way to success. So I think, like most things online, you can look at people and see their success and be like, oh my gosh, that just happened out of nowhere. But we really have been working towards everything we have today for the last 10 years, pretty much since we started dating. And so I wanted to bring him on to offer his perspective because I think it's a little different than my own. I think that as a male, he has a very unique perspective and probably a little bit different driving force on why he does the things he does. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. when you brought this topic up, I thought it would be a really cool idea for a podcast. So I'm glad you, you're having me on.
Yeah. And you're my first guest.
First guest, yeah.
I know, you're excited.
I know. Well, when this thing continues to hit it big, I mean, I'm sure I'll do a spinoff podcast.
Oh, you're going to have your own?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. We got to stair step it, you know?
I doubt it.
Stair step all the way up. Podcast fame.
This is also, by the way, the second time we're recording this because I recorded it a few days ago and I didn't have audio attached. So I don't know how I did that. I don't know how that happened, but I had to bribe him to come back again because I already talked him into it once. I had to talk him into it again. But when you have a 1.5-year-old running around, it literally took us a week to be able to try to record it again. So
yeah. Also, I get super nervous for like no reason on these things. So I think you getting me to do it twice is more of a miracle than anything else.
right. Exactly. I appreciate it. So let's chat about kind of where we started, what the beginning was for us. And really, I think for us, it started at school. And one unique thing about us is that we don't practice together like so many chiropractic couples out there. We met at chiropractic school. We fell in love. We immediately realized that we had very different loves and techniques within chiropractic.
Opposites attract. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, that was a big point of contention for us in the beginning.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, looking back on it, it's, you know, it's ridiculous to look back on and see the stuff that we would kind of, you know, get mad or not mad, but just like really stood up for ourselves.
Yeah. And we'd argue about it. Like I would be like, you can't make a baby poop. And you'd be like, you can't get somebody out of back pain in one visit. So traditionally I practice pediatric prenatals. Kyle does more ART, soft tissue, integrative diagnosis. And it was at that point, you know, early on in our relationship that we realized like, hey, we can both be right. We can both have different passions, even though we share a common interest and share a common love of helping people. We can want to approach it in a different, unique way. And once we kind of smartened up and realized that we were fighting over nothing is when we decided early on, even before we had our own clinics, that we would likely not work together.
Yeah. I mean, it's like at the time it was like, which technique's better? But I mean, they're both awesome. They just help a different patient population. So it took us like a year to realize that of like clawing at each other and like, do it this way. And then we're like, well, we can both do it different ways. We don't have to do it the same way. And we're still going to help a lot of people. So
yeah. And at the end of the day, that's all we cared about was helping the right people. And so we're kind of looking all over. We started looking in Austin, Texas, but do you remember how bad that trip was?
Oh my God. Steph, we're broke. We're looking for deals. So she's like, man, I got this hotel for like $30. And I'm like, what?
I'm like, by the way, no. I'm from the Midwest. So I didn't even know what a red roof Inn was. And that's where I booked it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got us a deal. And like, we're obviously in school, living off student loans. And Kyle was like, we land at the airport. He doesn't ask me where. Like, this is classic of our relationship. I plan everything. And he just kind of shows up and goes with the flow. And he was like, well, where did you get it at? And we're driving. I'm like, oh, I don't know, like someplace called Red Roof Inn. And Kyle was like, Steph, you're kidding, right? And I was like, what? He was like, have you ever been to one of those hotels? And I'm like, no, never. Yeah. And so needless to say, we showed up to the hotel. It was not a good vibe. We left immediately. But that kind of set the tone for that trip. And the purpose of that trip was for us to go and meet with a preceptor. Yeah. And we were going to spend the last trimester of school there working in individual clinics. But that trip went so poorly that we just took it as a sign from the universe that we weren't meant to move to Austin. And we came back to Iowa and we were like, okay, what now? And essentially, we knew that life in school was going to be very different from life outside of school, and we wanted to be as close to support as we could be. And so we decided to move to Jersey, and I got a job working at a clinic. Kyle got a job working at a clinic part-time or as like a CA because he was still waiting to pass part four boards. Do you remember how hard that was?
Yeah, like, that was a tough time in our life. I mean, we were like looking also for, we were looking for like cheap rents too. And I think the doctor I was like preceptoring for was like, oh, I know this lady and you can live with her. So we're like, okay, yeah, that works. And the rent was like super cheap. We're like, this is sick. So we go there sight unseen, drive across the country. We end up at this lady's house and she's like, okay, yeah, you have the basement and we have no windows in the basement. And it's just like this dark, it was almost like a dungeon.
It was a dungeon, yeah. And we thought we were going to have our own interest. We thought it was a separate apartment. It literally was just the basement of her house.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, after about a month, like without seeing sunlight when you wake up, the depression starts to kick in.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely like a lower point for us. And then we're like, okay, we got a little acclimated to our positions. Kyle, you were actually working for where?
1-800 got junked to make ends meet. I was driving a dump truck and, you know, I honestly wasn't the worst job in the world. I kind of enjoyed it from time to time, but I mean,
it
depress you a little bit. Like you're out of school and you have like, you know, you're looking at the world, you're like, man, I'm going to help all these people. And then the world just smacks you in the face. And it's like, wait a minute, you have to work your way up toward this. It's not just going to be given to you or handed to you just because you get a diploma.
You know? Totally. Yeah. And it was like emotionally, it was a really tough time for you because you were kind of going through this phase of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just dedicated all this time to school. I can't fully practice yet because you were waiting to take part four boards. And that was like, looking back now, I think that time together was the first time that we had really went through a legit hardship together. And I definitely think it brought us closer.
Definitely brought us closer. I mean, that was really the birth of the stair-stepping that we want to talk about on the podcast, right? Because, I mean, at that time, that's really when I knew, like, okay, Steph has my back. She moves across the country. She gets a pretty banger job with, from a monetary perspective. And then here I am driving a truck for 1-800 got junked. And, you know, at the time, too, we're like, trying to meet people. We're living in Morristown, New Jersey, which
is
a more lucrative area.
Yeah. And so I joined this group called Junior League. And it was so that I could meet other women in the area that were successful, wanting to, you know, give back, had families, like a lot of attributes that I looked up to. But the problem was that these women like ate out 1 to 2 times a week and they invited you. And it was kind of expected that you show up at these functions. And I remember us going before and literally plotting like, okay, how can we only spend $25 with tip included? Well, we could go to this happy hour and we can order wings and a beer each and that's it. And then we have to leave. Because that's really all we could afford. And there was, in those beginning stages of building, the number one thing is your mindset just plays tricks on you, right? You second guess yourself. You feel like you're not enough. You feel like, you know, you're never going to hit it big or you're never going to get a break. And in reality, I think for us, it was just showing up day after day after day. When you were down, I would pick you up. When I was down, you would pick me up. And really, those first couple of years was just emotionally supporting each other.
Yeah. And I mean, I'd add that it's kind of like everything happens for a reason too, right? Because I mean, if I wasn't, you know, at that point, not passing part four boards, I would probably wouldn't have gotten the preceptorship that I got coming out. Like, cause I was all set up at the time to get the preceptorship that I had. Something fell through with it. And then, I ended up moving on and getting the one that was like kind of our second stair step.
You mean associateship?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Associateship.
Yeah. Yeah. So your first associateship was a stepping stone to your second associateship.
Yeah.
But the second one is where you really kind of learned a lot about the business aspect. It's where you became a partner.
Yeah.
So after Kyle passed boards and it was time for me to move on from my associateship, it just was no longer a good fit. And so I decided to open my first clinic and Kyle was like, okay, you have been the breadwinner. You've had my back. Now it's time for me to have your back. You go out and build your clinic and I can cover all of our bills while you're doing that. Like your only focus needs to be on building your business. And I think I work with a lot of married couples and I also work with a lot of women in business who maybe their spouse isn't an entrepreneur. Their spouse doesn't understand what it takes to grow a business, but having that much support allowed me the freedom to really focus all of my time and energy on the business. Granted, we didn't have children yet. Our only goal was to just build a business and make it successful. But having that support from you, I think really allowed me to grow the business as quickly as I did.
Yeah. I mean, same for me though, right? Like, I mean, I would say the first time that we did it was the beginning that we were talking about before, where I didn't have really my license yet and I couldn't get a preceptorship. And then Steph had my back. And then the minute that I had the means to help support her, I was open enough to be like, okay, you know, leave your banging ash. I'm sorry, leave your banging job and go to, you know, the next stage, which is opening up your own clinic. And then next step, right? Like when she starts to, you know, gain some traction in her clinic, then it's my turn again. So I think looking at it, and you know, it doesn't have to be like two chiropractors. It can be anybody.
It doesn't even have to be two entrepreneurs. And I think sometimes there's different conversations you have to have if one of you is an entrepreneur and one of you is a W-2 employee. But you can still support each other in that way, right? If somebody in a W-2 role is like, hey, I really want to work on working up the corporate ladder. I want to work on diversifying and leaving this really cush job to go work for this new company that's a startup, but has a great opportunity for me and has longevity it for me, then knowing which role you play in that and when the time is right, like you could still be that supportive spouse.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, there's a lot of like emotional support with that too, right? Because like when Steph would kind of get down and be like, okay, you know, I can't do this, or not I can't do it, but just like I'm running into these obstacles. I'd be like, well, it's okay. I'm available. I can stay at this job as long as you need me. I mean, there was no like time limit we put on each other. There's no like, hey, you have to get profitable in 6 months so I can do my next step. Like, no, I got it until you
feel good.
Got it.
Yeah. And that is such a good point, because I think so often we go into new ventures with timelines in our head, but just accepting that, you know, you'll be successful. It doesn't matter if it takes 3 months or 12 months or whatever it might be. I never felt pressure from you that I had to perform essentially, or that I wasn't doing enough. Or, you know, sometimes there's like, well, why aren't you making more money? Everybody thinks if you're an entrepreneur, like money just falls from the sky, I think. But there's a lot that goes into building a business, and having the space to be able to do that without any pressure from you really, really helped us on our stair-stepping.
Yeah, I think we both understand too that like life doesn't really care about your timelines. You know what I mean?
We've learned that in more than one way.
You know, you're going to run into issues that you don't see coming in any business. So to realize that from kind of both of our perspectives when we were trying to build up to where we're at and still build into the future. I mean, you know, the business, life, whatever curveballs get thrown your way, just know that it might not fit exactly with your timeline, but if you have that grit, you can kind of push through it.
And it's usually a better timeline. There's a thing, divine timing, you know, like right. I think of our son Jet, and when we got pregnant in 2019 and we had the ectopic, like then we rolled into 2020 and the pandemic and straight chaos ensued, especially if you were in the natural health world, because you were like, what's going on here? And then we didn't have him until 2021, but like, I can't imagine him joining our family at any other time. And so that wasn't our original timeline, but divine timing ended up working out much better than we could have imagined.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that.
So after I opened my practice, then you decided to become partner, and we'll have to do a whole episode on manifesting because when we first started dating, you definitely didn't buy into this concept of manifesting. What did you think manifesting was when I first brought it to your attention?
Some foo-foo, fairy dust, bullcrap sort of thing. But I mean, you know, I saw, like, to me, even now, manifesting is more like putting action behind a plan, and like Steph will write in her book something. And it's not just like, I'm going to manifest this. It's like, no, I'm going to put all my thought into action in order to hit this goal. So, you know, to me, and even my friends nowadays, they'll kind of bust my chops because, I mean, I'll bring it up and I'll talk about it and I'll be like, yeah. And, you know, they'll kind of talk crap.
Yeah, they tease us about manifesting.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, about manifesting because it has such a negative stigma behind it. But, you know, as like a manly man and being like, you know, manifesting, you know, in the beginning, I was definitely like that.
Oh, yeah. You used to tease me too. Until you were like, holy shit, this works.
Yeah. I mean, all we got to do is get out our planners from 2018, 2019, and then look in there and be like, oh my God, we hit all these goals. And
yeah.
I didn't even.
That's my favorite thing to do, actually, is to keep old planners, schedules, journals, whatever it may be, and then just look back and see what our intentions were from 2018 and be like, oh my God, it's 2023. And either one, that wasn't aligned for us, so we didn't pursue it, or two, we accomplished that and more. And I think, you know, when you're goal setting and things like that, it's super important to know and revise what you used to want. And is it still aligned with what you want now and who you're becoming? Because at one point, I mean, we wanted 100 real estate properties. And then we got 5 or 6 and we were like, oh, okay, this is a little bit more complicated than we thought it was, or that we had originally.
It's not so passive, right?
It's not so passive. Yeah. We could tell you about all the investments we've done under the disguise of it being passive, and none of them have actually been passive.
Yeah.
But that's on our way to success. You know, we've tried a lot of things that maybe haven't always panned out for us, but one thing about us is we always come back with a lesson learned, and we hit the pavement and we keep it moving.
Yeah. I mean, I think another important like point to kind of point out with all this is like my role in the relationship, even from the beginning, was to kind of be a hater, and hers was to be like, let's do it.
Not a hater, just more realistic, I would say.
Well, now that's what we call it, but in the beginning,
I'd be like, why are you shooting down all my ideas? These are great ideas.
Yeah. And I think, the reason I bring it up is because the strong point in our marriage now, and like why I think we have such a great marriage, is because we realize that, like, we realize each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Totally.
When it comes to making business decisions or life decisions, to where like, okay, we already know Kyle's role is to, you know.
Well, you're just meant to test me and ask me. And so like, right. I'm more the visionary, you're more the integrator. And knowing those roles within your relationship, whether you're married or not, even if it's in your relationship, like at the clinic, like if your role is the visionary, is the clinic owner or the business owner, who on your team is going to make sure that all the visions that you have come to life? And so I will kind of be like, hey, babe, we're going to go to
a gym during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. I did want to do that. I wanted to open a gym during the pandemic, and you shot that down. Well, no, it was end of 2019. And you came to me and I was like, we're going to open a gym and we're going to offer these classes. And I've already been looking at spaces. And you had like a list of like 4 or 5 questions. And I remember the first question being like, okay, Steph, well, what happens when I'm seeing patients and you're seeing patients and one of our trainer calls out sick and the class starts in 15 minutes? Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, there was way too many variables in that business model for what we were already building. And there was some other questions that you had. And at the end of that, I was like, yeah, this sounds exhausting for the profit margin. Not interested, not going to do it. And thank goodness we didn't, because then we rolled right into the pandemic. And that would have been really bad to have a brand new gym during the pandemic.
Yeah. But I mean, then on the flip side of the coin, she comes to me one time and she's like, let's buy this rental property in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'm like, well, we're not living in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're not doing this. And then she's like, okay, well, here's this with the management company.
And here's the numbers.
And then here's the numbers and here's what we can get cash on cash. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense to me. So it's, you know, it's listening to each other in a rational perspective from each other's perspective, as far as knowing that she is all in on something immediately when she hears it, and I am absolutely not. And then finding a happy medium, but also being open to that.
You know, the other perspective.
Yeah.
And I think everything we go into, we know that like I'm not always right. You're not always right. But we also respect and love each other enough to realize that we've been building together for a long time. And if there's a flaw that you've seen it that I don't, it's good for me to hear that. And we still might move forward with it if I feel strongly about it, right? I don't think there's anything that I've felt super, super gung-ho about that you've been like, no.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Like that one time I wanted to buy a house in Florida. And I just woke up one morning and I was like, hey, so remember like last year when we were setting goals and I wanted a second house in Florida? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I want to buy that now. And he's like, Steph, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And I was like, I know. I think it's going to be really good for us.
One of the best things we've done.
But one of the best investments we've made because, you know, that house is like almost doubled in value from when we bought it just because of the real estate market and that sort of thing. So like if he would have been a naysayer to that, even though I was gung-ho on it, like we would have lost out on a massive opportunity. So you have to know each other's strengths and weaknesses as you're building whatever it is you want to build. You know, I refer to it especially as like our little empire that we're building. We want to have multiple cash flowing assets that all feed into one thing so that we can live our life the way that we want. So we can have the lifestyle. I love to travel. I love to be at home with my son. I love to build epic things. I love to help a lot of people. And so every little aspect of our empire that we're building is so that it can feed all of those passions that I have.
Yeah, knowing each other's personalities too, in that perspective really helped us with this kind of stair-stepping our trajectory kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because when it was time for me to go on to the next thing, I didn't want to do it. Like when I didn't want to leave my...
Because you were making great money.
I was making great money. And as a man, I want to provide, right? Like I don't care about my time and stuff.
Yeah, you're like, I'll work here forever, Steph.
I'll work here 12 hours a day. Don't care. Like I just want to provide for the family. And Steph's like, well, I want to do things too. And I want to have a baby. And
I want you around.
I want you around for the baby. And so once again, I'm saying no, no, no. She's saying yes, yes, yes. So, okay, it makes sense. It makes sense that I need to be around my son. That makes sense to me. So me just being like, I want to work 12-hour days for the rest of my life just because I'm making a boatload of money, that doesn't really make sense. And I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, and it didn't add to our overall vision that we had. But it was me, like, I think eventually you would have left, but it was me really kind of pushing you and being like, now's the right time. Like my clinic's doing great. It's time for you to leave and build your own clinic and you can do this. And I support you and I'll have right. your back just like you had my back and we're going to be great. And this is going to be amazing. And it definitely, while I'll make a decision, like literally I'll wake up and get a wild hair up my ass. I'll make a decision that quick. It definitely takes you more time.
Yeah.
But I know if I tried to force your timeline, then it just creates kind of like animosity or friction between us. And you know, if you try to slow me down too much, that I'm going to get furious or flustered. And so we know that about each other. We understand that about each other. We also really respect that about each other. We love that we're different because if we were the same, we would get more of the same. And we're just able to excel at a rapid rate because of that understanding.
Yeah. I mean, that's another good point, right? Because for me to make a decision, like even with the last clinic I opened, it took me literally probably a year and a half. Whereas when Steph made the decision to open up her second clinic, it took about 15 minutes. And it blows my mind because my mind thinks so much differently. I go, what can go wrong?
Yeah, you go to worst case scenario and I go to best case scenario.
I need this amount of lease in case something goes wrong and blah, blah, blah. And she just goes, I'm going to achieve it. So whatever, I'm just going to get it. And there's no wrong way to do it.
Not one of those ways is not right and one is not wrong. But our mesh up together, the way that we work, works really well together because I'm always pushing the needle. He's always making sure that we're not like risking it all and, you know, going to lose it all. So he always has some of that sensibility there. And
I think it works well together too because of our ability to kind of compromise, you know what I mean? Because if we had the same scenario and we were both real bullheaded, it would be a disaster.
Right? Yeah.
Because we're so different. So then, but our ability to kind of listen to each other thoughtfully and be like, okay, that makes sense to me. Like maybe you're right this time. Maybe I'm wrong. Like us not being like real bullheaded and pushy and
Yeah.
Really having an ego, I would say.
Yeah, totally. Such a good point. Like, there's no ego when we come together. It's not like, well, this is my way and this is what I want. It's like, what's best for the family?
Right.
And before Jethro was here, it was like, what's best for Kyle and Steph and the future family we want? And now that Jethro's here, we're like, well, what's best for the three of us and what's best for our future family or our legacy that we want to build? And I think maybe I'll have to bring you back so we could talk about kind of the family values that we have. And all of our decisions get ran through those set of values. And if it doesn't light up, if it doesn't line up with the values, then it gets, we don't move forward with it. And same thing with like opportunities or relationships or scenarios that we're in. If they are not adding value or getting us closer to where we want to be as a family, then we make the decision, as hard as it is, to remove them. And that has been personal relationships, that has been team members, it has been a lot of things, and it's really hard decisions, but we always come back to the foundation of like, is it adding or getting us closer to where we want to be?
Yeah, so much different nowadays.
Yeah.
I would say, because before it was, I just want to do the best I can financially and the best I can for my business. I don't care about my time. And now it's, I mean, you know, we still want to do that, but time is at the forefront of our mind now.
Yeah.
We really want to be able to raise our child. And, you know, I want to coach a little league and I want to be around him and see him grow up. And that's, you know, better than any financial award you can get, but we still need money to do those things.
Right? Totally. So, and that's what I was going to say. So like on our stair step pattern, Kyle opened his office. Then once his office was up and going, it was like, cool, we have really two great businesses that are cash flowing. I'm going to dive into consulting. I want to diversify our income, get a little bit out of healthcare. And also just, I know I have tons of value that could help other people. Why wouldn't I do it? And so then I started building up consulting and Kyle was like, okay, well, I'm going to go and open another office. And so now that we have all of that that we're managing, there's definitely new lessons that we're learning at this level. And there's definitely a ton of new scenarios that have popped up that are kind of forging us as we're building. You know, we talked about stepping into that next level of yourself. We're in a season of where we're doing that and we're we're being forced to learn new things, put new systems in place, work out new processes that are going to help take us to the next level. But I think more than anything for the next stage, it's truly enjoying where we're at and also knowing that we've already got a lot on our plate. So in order for us to say yes to something new, it has to be a no-brainer, a hell yes, make total sense. Because I feel that we're at a really good place and we're only going to say yes to things that make 100% sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm happy, right? Mm-hmm.
And you made a good point. I think even on the first time we recorded this, you made a good point that like, once you reach a certain point, you're not necessarily striving for more financial success. Of course, more money, sure. You get more opportunities, more options. That's something that innately we'll strive for always, but it's not the main focus where it was when we were building up our first clinic, where it was like, okay, let's just get profitable. Let's make money. Let's store away money. Let's get a house. Let's do all of this. Now we're at the level where it's like, great, we've achieved a good amount of financial success, but what do we want to achieve in this next season? And if we are going to continue to stair step our way, what are some other metrics that we're going to measure it by? And one of those is time, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And another one is like passion things, you know, like this podcast. Like this has been a project of mine that I've wanted to do. And so it was like, okay, now's the perfect time to do it. Let's get it up and let's get it off the ground and do it. And I think now also experiences, that's what we care about a lot, is like, well, okay, well, probably me so more than you.
Yeah.
No comment, babe.
No comment.
Yeah. I have to force Kyle to travel with me, but he loves me, so he does it. If it was up to him, he would wake up every morning, go to the gym and have a very routine, predictable schedule. And I'm like, let's just go to Italy for a month. Doesn't that sound so much fun?
I mean, yeah. And we're so different in the sense, like, I can't even think a month out. And she's like, has the next 2 years planned. So when she's like, hey, do you want to go to Portugal in 3 months? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then 3 months comes by and I'm like, oh. What are you talking about?
So that's, you know, that's the thing. You have to figure out what each of your weaknesses are, each of your strengths, and then come together, have a shared vision, a set of values that you want to build upon, and, you know, check yourself through, like, does this align with our values? And from there, I think you can build whatever the hell you decide your heart wants.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, you know, there's so much in this world, and it's, you know, it's fun being with you and being able to, you know, being able to do this. Cause I mean, there's a lot of people that I don't think I could do this with. We could delete all that.
But. No, we're not deleting. You're cute. No, we definitely made the right decision marrying each other. And another lesson, if you're not married, please, if you get anything from this, it's like, pick the right spouse. Don't rush your decision. I have several girlfriends that are single in their 30s that are just crushing it, but they refuse to settle. And that is a beautiful thing. Cause I think that not only in business can you have everything you want, you can also have everything you want out of a marriage or a relationship. So with that, we'll end it. Thank you guys. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.